Welcome to Mixed Noise, episode 88. Today's February 11th. Nope, it's March 11th now. This year's been the worst. I'm Marcus.
I'm Jesse.
And you know what, Jesse? The year hasn't been the worst. It's just
no.
this month of work has just been killing
been
me.
Been brutal.
It's been killing me.
Daylight savings did not help anything, though.
Oh, yeah. Right?
It was just like a kick in the groin at that point.
I woke up in the middle of the night,
just
Saturday night,
you.
And I looked at the clock. I was like, this isn't right. Like, I feel so awful. Can't be right.
They just spat on you. I hate daylight savings, man.
I didn't even know it was coming, Jesse. I woke up in the morning and I was like, what? What's going on? I see some people talking about it, but it's like, they're probably full of shit, right? Like, they have to be. I had to look it up to just like, all right, for real. Is it really this time?
You know, Windows, you just click on the little clock thing and it tells you daylight saving time began on Sunday. Yeah.
What's Windows? I don't know.
Crappy version. Anyways, though,
can I wear that on my wrist? I don't understand.
The only good thing about daylight savings is that the sun's out longer, so that's cool. But other than that, it makes me feel like I have a lot more time. I don't know why. I just feel like things are good when the sun is up. You just feel more alive, I guess. Whatever.
I'm the opposite. Unless it's summer where the sun's up for 18 hours a day, I'm the opposite because it's around that I get off of it at around 7. So when the sun starts going down around that time, I drive west to go back home. So sun's in my eyes the whole time and I just curse it.
That's what I mean about the sun, though, because in the summer, that's when it starts popping off and I love it. So
it's just on all the time.
Love it.
Yeah.
Till 9 o'clock and still man, I'm good to this party now.
No, Jesse, we have work in the morning.
Did you see what happened to OU University or Oklahoma University?
I saw what happened to the frat.
Yeah.
At that university.
So you can't talk shit about OU, man. Can't do it.
They got wrecked by everybody. By everybody. Did you even see the mom who was like, oh, that's not them. This doesn't make any sense. And then there's a Vine from 2 years earlier where she's saying it too. And it's no.
It just gets worse.
Oh, it was.
They're best. I don't understand people. Okay, whatever. All right. I probably do. But it's just that when someone gets caught up and they just will dig themselves even deeper, a hole, just come on, man, just stop, put it down.
No, Jesse, you don't understand. They're kids. They don't know what they're doing.
Whatever.
Oh, they shouldn't be expelled. It's a government institution, you guys. Free speech. Come on.
Free speech.
Off for 5 minutes. I want that whole fraternity investigated, not this chapter. I want the whole goddamn fraternity investigated.
I love how people, and then I love how the SAE try to put off it was just this chapter. You know, their song sounded traditional as fuck, man. The song sounded like it was saying back in 1950s.
Yeah.
Stop it.
I would have preferred for more verses of the song, and they talk about the history of the fraternity as a whole.
Yeah.
So you can really, really tell that, nope, this isn't just localized to this one chapter. It's all of them.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do, man?
I'll
take
my
victories where I can
get
them.
It's right down the street.
Yeah, how far away is that from you?
An hour.
Ooh, Jesse. How many trees do they have?
A lot.
Oh, no, too many.
I heard back in the day that Norman was a sundown town.
Which means don't go out after dark?
Yeah, if you're black.
Well, yeah. I mean, come on, Jesse.
Yeah.
Come on. So, it's not Baltimore.
I'm looking up their thing on Wikipedia. I'm trying to find out. Because I know there's a bunch of people that we know there is on there. Nick Lachey.
Well, yeah, I can see that.
Phil Jackson. God, I hope he's not a racist. That would suck.
The Lakers guy?
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. The Lakers suck.
They have a lot of people on here.
Next, you'll tell me Tony Romo's in there. Yeah, makes sense. Makes a ton of sense, Jesse.
Troy Aikman.
Yeah. Look at that. Wrong cowboy, but yep, got it.
Troy Aikman.
Jesse, you got to understand they're America's team. And America hates black people, apparently.
Drew Stanton.
You know
Carson
what?
Palmer.
Tell me Obama was part of that, and then maybe I'll change my tune.
Frank Tarkenton. Jeez.
I don't know who that is. Who's that?
Old quarterback from Minnesota. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Anyways, off that. Let's get into Walking Dead.
Walking Dead. I don't. Are you sure that's still on? Because I'm seeing a show about them just sort of
moseying around.
Oh, what's normal, guys? I don't know what normal is.
Is that what it is now?
That's what that whole episode was. we don't know how to adjust to normal life.
Yeah, Sasha going through her thing still.
Yeah.
Can she go?
I'd like her to go. That'd be great.
Daryl, if there was any kind of, remember when like a lot of people started talking about theories that Daryl's gay? If there was any kind of episode to point to that, wouldn't it be this one?
Well, this was their opportunity, but yeah. I don't think they did it.
Like, if we had this episode a long time ago, those would probably be used as like an example. But I feel like, I don't know, that whole scene was weird.
Well, it's them like playing on their like, look, we're outcasts. We get what you're going through. We know Daryl. Like, come into our room.
Everyone was talking about a kiss, and I was like, oh man, Daryl's about to get himself a boo.
Daryl?
Yeah. I thought Daryl's going to kiss him. Or the dude's going to kiss him.
Oh, okay. Because I was like,
because I didn't know. Like, no one was talking about like the names or anything. They were just saying kiss or whatever. And I thought
See. Okay. Because I was like, there's only one kiss that I remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, all right. That makes sense. Yeah. No, Jesse. No. No, it doesn't make any sense, especially after like last episode where the dude's all like, oh, we got to make out like right now, even though like they're still super like threatening us. But I care too much. I'm going to abandon you guys in the middle of this fucking zombie horde just because I care so much. Mm. But it's whatever. It's whatever, Jesse. So let me ask you this. Carol, her whole thing.
Legit crazy.
You think that was legit crazy?
Legit insane, Marcus. She went into detail on how she's going to fuck up this kid's life. And I understand. She had to. Whatever. But she's crazy.
I don't think she had to. I think she could have just said,
I'm going
to
fuck up.
Because she got the chocolate. I thought that's why she got the chocolate when she went there. To be like, hey, look. Yeah, I'm going to make more cookies. They didn't let me have any more chocolate. I need this to make more cookies. You want more cookies, right?
You're crazy.
But then she just said, no, fuck that. Like, if you tell anybody, you're fucking dead.
She went in detail, though. Like, she gave her gave him a step-by-step of what she was going to do to that kid.
She never said she was going
to
do it.
I know. Insinuating what was going to happen to that kid.
Yeah, which I still feel like he's going to tell anyways.
And then she told me that. Like, he just goes, like, and then he would go into detail what she told him.
Yeah. Mm. Maybe that's what makes it more unbelievable. Like, no adult would do that. That's insane.
Yeah, you're insane, Carol. And there was a joke on Twitter that says, I feel like that Carol should, if you're, like, anywhere around Carol, Carol should have to introduce herself before you bring in your kids or something. Like, Carol has, like a sex offender or something. Like, hey, I'm Carol.
She was talking like a sexual predator, dude. Like, that's what they do. They're like, if you tell anybody what we just did, fucking dead.
Like, she would have to announce herself. Like, hey, I'm Carol.
Yeah.
With these kids. She already killed two kids. Rightly so, but I'm just saying, she doesn't have a good track record with kids.
She killed, what? You talking about the girls?
Yeah.
Well, one killed the other, and she had to kill the one that killed the other, because that one was crazy.
And she doesn't have a good track record, though. She lost one.
Well, her daughter, like, was shitty. Like, her daughter sucked.
She lost one.
Like, I think we can all agree her daughter sucked.
She killed another, and then now she's threatening this kid. Doesn't have a good track record.
I mean, I'm okay with it. I just felt like that move to threaten the kid there just didn't make any sense. It's like, what was the point of the chocolate then? She was just like, I want chocolate? Was that what that was about?
It was only like the most popped off scene through this whole episode. Everything else is kind of whack. Aside from Rick trying to get his crush on this
hot ass shit girl. Yeah.
They found a walker.
I think it's the eyebrows. I think it might be the eyebrows.
They found a walker with a letter carved in his head. What does that mean?
What's up?
The zombie dude with the letter in his head. W.
Oh, the W?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if that's in reference to anything. It's been a while since I, like, read shit. But yeah, I don't remember it. But it's probably also related to, like, all the zombies who were, like, cut in half, right? Like, at Chris's old place, whatever that fool's name actually is. But yeah. So, I mean, I'm interested to see where that goes. So, yeah, I mean, Rick's hardcore flirting with a girl. And then, you know, he kisses her at the party. I'm glad that they didn't have the husband show up there, like see him out of, you know, at the corner of the room or whatever. I don't want that drama starting this quickly for no reason. You know, he's a pussy, like we all know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty much established. So the more interesting part of that was when they're like out in the town near the end of the episode, and Rick sees them together, and like his like instinct was to reach for his gun.
Why?
Which is more of a, like, I just, like, I want it, so I'm going to take it. Like, that was his first instinct. It was like, damn, Rick. So, what people have commented on, and it's like, oh, yeah, I guess I can see that. Rick's sort of turning into Shane.
You think? Oh, like, his way or the highway?
No, that whole sort of, like, when Shane wanted to kill Rick to be with Lori, like that whole sort of like, well, like you're in my way and like I need it, so I'm gonna kill you. And I don't know, man. I feel like Rick's not gonna go in that far in that direction, but I do think he's just gonna take what he wants. They've been pretty much on that tip like this whole time since the end of that last episode. We're just like, yeah, we're gonna take it. They've pretty much decided they're gonna do it. Now we just have to sort of have to wait for like what's gonna make them decide. Like, yep, we're taking over now.
Last episode was called Conquer.
I don't know if it's I wouldn't want them to hold off. Make like I wouldn't want that to be the the climax of this arc, 'cause it feels like they'd have to drag their feet a lot, to make it to the end of this half season for that to be the finale. I hope that's referring to something else instead. But I feel like they may take over when the current leadership, like they do something stupid that gets somebody killed, hopefully one of theirs killed, hopefully Sasha killed. But it could just be like, oh, you got a bunch of your own people killed because you're stupid. All right, we don't feel safe anymore. We need to take over. I just wonder how the whole Carol threatening kids is going to come into play. Additionally, there are I could have sworn there's like two twin boys that are a little younger than Carl. And I'll leave it at that.
Well, I don't know what else to say about Walking Dead. Just that. What a blah season. It's a really blah season.
Well, it's a half season.
I'm milking in the other one together. Like,
Oh, you
all of them.
are?
Yeah. So.
I don't think taken as a whole it's that bad or anything like
I don't think
that.
it's
I feel
bad. Like, probably just blah. Not great, not bad. It's there.
I don't know. I feel like they've done enough. I want more movement in any direction, really. Like yeah, I get it. Y'all like have been out in the wild for so long. You don't know what it's like to like just be normal people anymore. I get that. I wouldn't mind them like adapting to like their current settlement or whatever, like or like strengthening, I don't know how to say words, the place, like day-to-day stuff, but that actually matters, not just, yeah, it's, oh, we're weird, right, guys? Yeah, let's go stand in the corner at this party. Like, that's the stuff I'm not a fan of, and I hope that they do more than just that. I feel like we got it. What do you think about that last little bit where Rick's, with his head up against the wall with the zombie on the other side? Like, what do you think that one meant?
I don't know. I have no idea what you think that meant.
For me, it just felt like, yeah, he's there in town as the constable, and so that feels like a lot like the old life. But he goes up there against the wall with the zombie to just sort of remind himself without having to, just go out there and, just shoot zombies for no reason. Just as a constant reminder of like, no, like this is a different world. It's like zombies out there. You don't want to slip up even here where it feels a lot safer than it's been for a while. That doesn't mean you should get complacent. But it was ambiguous enough that it could be something a little more sinister, like with Rick, especially because it came right after he was like, I'm gonna reach for my gun. Maybe not. But speaking of sinister.
That makes more sense, though. I don't know. But yeah, speaking of sinister, were they really that sinister in this season?
Oh, I was talking about the movie Sinister. What are you talking about?
Oh. I thought we were going to House of Cards.
Oh, House of Cards, season 3. Pretend I'm playing some jazz music right now. Like for like 3 hours. That intro is too long, Jesse.
Yeah.
It's way too long.
Is it jazz music? I feel like it's more orchestra than anything.
Yeah, maybe.
But,
All right, whatever. But so yeah, so this is essentially what I said at P. Him like trying to fight for his role as president.
did we talk
He was
about that
never
part
elected there.
last
Yeah,
last
but
week? Okay.
just a bit. But it's like the whole season arc. Like it wasn't just like a little part of the season. Like this was the season.
Because I didn't even finish it, guys. I don't even know where to begin, Marcus.
Weren't you with
Marcus.
it in the middle there? I could have sworn I saw some tweets that kind of
Yeah,
sucked.
I was with it, man. The argument that Claire and Frank had, the first one, when it popped off, because Claire,
Well, she fucked up in
yeah, she
Russia.
did. But no, I'm not on anyone's side. I just love that. Oh shit, I'm awake now. I like where this is going. This is a great argument. And then they just arguing back and throwing blow for blow for blow. And then Claire just hits him with an uppercut. I should have made you president. Woo! Should have thrown him off the plane, dog. Just get off the plane.
And then they immediately neutered that. Like, was it the very next episode? And they're
Yeah,
like,
renew their
and they
vows.
start off getting renewing their vows. And they're like,
It doesn't
what the
work.
fuck? Like,
It
the
doesn't
episode
work.
at the beginning, it's just like, what's going on? And then you see like, oh, they like bond over these monks. Like,
Yeah.
that was some cool shit. Like what they were doing. I still don't understand like how they were doing it, but that it looked cool. But not
Yeah.
enough for me to like, I'm renewing my marriage vows.
They
Cool.
tried. They really did try at that. And then, like, over the few next episodes, I don't like the season for one thing. I know Frank had to go through some issues with the presidency, but he was outsmarted on a lot of things, and it was really frustrating to watch. Because for the first two seasons, he is portrayed as like a very intelligent man who's always a step ahead, who's always has a backup plan, who's always going to come out right. And but for some reason, in this season, they took a left turn from that, and he seemed pretty dumb. Like, for example, this is all fresh to my mind, which was the Dunbar saying, "Oh, I want to give up my presidency for to get the judge seat." And Frank buys that. I mean, it's clear. Like, I like, come on, man. Like,
Oh, when he meets up with her in
after
the
your
basement thing?
yeah, and she's like, he was like, "So you want to get your pre give up your presidency?" He goes, "Nope, I got something else." I was like, "How do you fall into that? Come on, man. You had to think something else."
It just
But
felt like this season more than any other. Like, we've seen Frank be like a ruthless dude before,
he was
but it
kind of
felt like it never
nice.
worked to his advantage this time around. Like, it was
No.
always just to show the people around him, like, oh, he sucks. Like, that we're gonna go against him now because of that. It would never work as an intimidation thing for very long. Like, the only time it ever seemed to really work for intimidation was when he would talk about like protecting Doug, essentially.
Or Jackie, like when he well, no, because Jackie backfired on him. No, I thought for sure he did. I thought he, like when he cussed her out when she's talking about like I think it was after the debate because he says something on during the debate. And I thought after when they had a discussion about it, like he was talking about their partnership and what it actually is and that he's the one holding her up and blah blah blah, just cussed her out, right? And she looked like she's about to cry, and I thought I was like, all right, well, there's Frank there, but no, she was like, I announced my endorsement for Dunbar. And I was
Well,
like,
see, I felt like Remy might have had a little bit to do with that. Almost felt
what?
like when like Remy was like that last chance to be like, "Yo, Frank, talk to her, try to smooth things over." When Frank's like, "Nah, she's a bitch," and like, all right then. Well, I tried, and then he like quits and goes with her anyways. Oh, like initially goes with her anyways because it's just sort of one of those things where it's like, all right, you don't care about her. Let me just go tell her like, "Yo, yeah, he sucks.
I
Like,
think
just
he quit
do what you're gonna
after she
do."
announced, though.
He quit after she announced, but he tried to convince him to smooth things over before she announced. After he like talked shit to her in the office, and that was the thing too. Like, he had some points there when he was talking about it, especially because we knew, like, especially we knew, like, being the omniscient, audience, we see that she was playing that field leading up to the debate. Like, yeah, I'll support you. Like, just give me shit, and then she wouldn't. So she's like, well, fuck you then.
And
And I
then,
like that debate. For the most part,
no,
I
that was
thought it
the
fell apart at the end there.
worst debate of all time. But it was really entertaining. It was really the worst debate of all time, though. Would you vote for any of those three?
No. Well, I would have
Yeah,
voted for Frank, actually. I would have. Because Dunbar seemed like a bitch who like had no real ideas of her own. She was just saying, "Well, you suck, and I'm not you, so I should get it." And then the other one was just attacking Dunbar.
it
And Frank was just like, "Weren't we here to debate?" No, I guess, but okay, whatever. Like, I liked Frank in most of that until at the end when he turned on Jackie to just sort of like, I gotta play everyone. And I felt like that little bit was his mistake there. It was like, no, should have just stayed his quiet, neutral self and just let
Yeah.
it play the way it was.
Well, I don't know. I was watching the debate. It was really entertaining, but if, in real life perspective, I guess I would have been wouldn't have voted for any of those. But Frank didn't piss his character like his character development in the season didn't piss me off as much as Claire's character development. Man, what were they thinking this season?
She wanted it all,
What is that?
Jesse.
What the fuck does she want, dog?
She wanted him to change the Constitution to make a dual presidency.
Like,
Yeah,
really? What did you
leading at
expect?
the end too, I was like, what the fuck are you talking about,
What did
Claire?
you want from all this? What did you expect when Frank became president? That he was gonna make you vice president? That he was gonna give you some kind of. Like, he tried with the ambassador and he sucked at that? And
Yep.
that's another dumb mistake by Frank. I don't understand it, but whatever. And then the whole thing, though, like, all right, Claire, for the most part, for the two seasons, and that relationship was never like they needed each other. You know what I mean? It wasn't so. Claire wasn't always trying to drive, right? Trying to get this like same equal level as Frank, you know? It always felt like that Claire didn't mind working in the background, working out as a supportive person for Frank, and yet getting her own way or something, doing her own thing. But for some reason, when Frank got up to the presidency, things done change, and now she's like, "Oh, what do I have now?" It's the
Yeah,
weirdest thing.
he made the mistake of giving her a taste of power.
Her whole neediness was ridiculous. And people make theories. There's a couple theories that are interesting to me. Like, the reason why it's so outlandish this season is because she doesn't have no one else. Like, before in season one, she just left when things good. She got mad and she left to go to that guy for a while. I mean, she realized that he's not enough, so she went back to Frank, you know.
I forgot she's a cheating hoe.
And
Forgot about that.
yeah, but even then, it didn't really bother them. Like, Frank knew what it was, and then it didn't bother. But I feel like if that would have happened in this season, Frank would have been upset. I don't.
Because he wasn't getting any on his side.
Weird.
See, where I thought that whole, like, I need more power was coming from, especially when they were talking about it on the campaign trail, like, she was the, like, everyone's favorite and stuff. It was like he was really using, pushing her because she was so popular with everybody. I thought she was going to turn around and say, no, I'm running. I'm running for president now.
Yeah, I feel like it. And then the whole sex scene in the Iowa hotel of her just hitting him and stuff. I don't think Frank would didn't want to do that, not because he's like gay, but because he's like, what the fuck's your problem? Like, he genuinely did not want to hurt her. Like, he cares that much for her. To the point where he didn't want to do that to her.
I thought he just wasn't attracted to her enough because he was starting to get into it, and then she's like, "No, you have to look at me still." It's like, "All right, you know what? Fuck that." Because again, during that whole like their fight where he says, "All right, so you want me to be assertive and in control, but only when you want it." Like it doesn't work like that. You can't just have it like that.
And then a lot of people, another theory they have is that she's going through menopause, which makes a lot more sense. And people, there's a lot of feminists that are against that because it kind of trivializes her whole need for power and da 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 and her mood swings and the way Frank is, treats her. But no, like she's sitting here in the freezer at one scene saying that she needs to cool off. I know hot flashes. My aunt went through them. I knew them.
No, Jesse, you don't understand. We're supposed to be really sensitive to that stuff,
Nah.
but we can never blame anything on it because it makes no sense
And
to do that.
then it started getting, then towards the end of the season, or yeah, it kind of made more sense that she was going through that kind of change. Because it was ridiculous. It was being ridiculous.
Yep.
I don't.
And especially like the way that the whole kid thing, the whole abortion thing, like
Man.
really like hit her hard.
And then the weirdest scene, the whole season was so weird. The weirdest scene, though, was when she was going around the campaign, like going to houses and houses, and she was talking to that mom. That mom saying she was going to suffocate her baby. What's up with the show? She says it
What?
so nonchalant.
Mothers have those urges. She was trying
Right?
to be like truthful and stuff. So I don't know why Claire was so like, oh, how dare you? Like it was
don't think it.
such a shocking revelation or something.
I don't think any. I don't think a lot. I don't think a lot of mothers have those kind of urges. But that's just me. I don't know. To
Bruh.
put a pillow over a baby.
Jesse, come on.
I don't. Danielle,
Come on.
do you know a lot of moms who would want to put a pillow over a baby just because they're fed up? No, I don't know.
Let's talk about stressed out mothers having to have the brunt of the work, not having like a whole family to take care of the kid, them doing all this work and being like, "Oh, I wanted this baby this whole time," and then boom. Oh,
Don't think
uh-oh.
that's a reason. I think you're. Nah, I don't
What
know.
what's that shit called? Post something?
Yeah, that's a disease. Yeah, that's a,
Well, it's a thing that happens a
I
lot.
know, but I don't think a lot of. I don't know. I don't know a lot of mothers,
What's that
but
shit called? Post
postmodern post. I don't know something, but.
something with
I don't think
mom
it's something where if
in the
someone
word.
were to tell me in a room that I think about putting a pillow over this baby, I'd want to be like, oh yeah, I get you. I
But
don't
she was
think.
saying like a sometimes thing, and that's
Come on,
completely
Marcus.
natural. You get so
No!
stressed out by this kid, it's like, you know what? Sometimes I just want to
I'm going to
fucking
put
get
a
rid of this
pillow
goddamn
over this
kid.
baby, and I'm supposed to be like, nah, boo, I got you. You're right. Go ahead and put that
If
pillow over that
it
baby.
was them talking woman to woman, unfortunately Claire hasn't had a kid, so she
No.
can't empathize with
I
that
can't
feeling.
empathize either. Just weird. A weird scene. She was weird. She sucked some dude's dick for making building her child's crib.
Yeah, that was funny. It was like, huh? How poor? You all don't look that poor. I think you
Y'all.
just wanted to suck dick.
That was a lucky guy. He was like, man, I was just trying to build this crib.
Really? I mean, I was only gonna charge 20 bucks, but
I mean,
like, I think I got a deal
I
here.
still charge you $20, though.
Yeah.
don't know,
But
man. This
yeah.
is all. I mean,
So, what'd you think? I'm sorry. What?
and then like the whole argument near the end with Frank and Claire. And I'm glad Frank put it down. That's like the most at that moment. When she says he doesn't need him, and then he just goes off on her. That moment is like probably the biggest highlight of the season for Frank. He put it down, man. Fuck do you think you are? I don't know.
What has she really accomplished on her own? Her nonprofit was pretty much just because she was rich. That's not the reason it had any success. You know, of course, with the political connections that Frank had. Her whole embassy stuff, her diplomatic stuff, was
Sucked.
just because of Frank.
And he sucked at it.
And she sucked at it. Yeah. And he hurt his own political career because of her.
Yep. But I mean, I like how you says, "What do you want? What do you want to do?" She's sitting, and there was like a lot of like imagery scenes that like her sitting in the chair, her walking in the room, and everyone's saying, "Underwood, Underwood," and everyone's applauding when she walks in through the doors, and she touches it, and all the like the noise goes out. All these imagery shit, like folk kind of saying that she wanted to be president after all.
And that's all the stuff that made me think she was gonna like, "I'm gonna go run now."
It's weird.
I was surprised that it didn't go that way. It wouldn't make any sense, but like the whole build up for her is like, well, what else does she want? Like, her end goal is, "I want to divorce you now." Like, that's the whole thing. That almost feels a little lackluster as a conclusion to that arc.
The Doug storyline was kind of the most interesting of the season because I didn't really know where it was going and it didn't irritate me that much. And I've just.
And he got to fuck a personal trainer that was
Yeah.
like super hot.
Good for you, Doug. I'm just glad he was
Yeah,
alive.
Doug. Yeah, that was the thing I was thinking of too when the season started. I was like, yep, look at him being alive. And even on the previous video, I was like, yep, that's one dead motherfucker. Like, why? He looks so dead. Why would he be alive? But he was, and he pretty much like almost fully recovered. Like, you can tell like he's gonna fully recover, it seems.
He went through the blender though, man. Some rough times.
Yeah. So what do you think the whole thing is with his brother and like specifically his brother's kids and stuff? Is that just more of like there's a life he could have had sort of thing?
Yeah, probably, but he doesn't. He won't. I don't know, but I feel like that.
But
Yeah.
like that's not what he wanted. Like, he was
Yeah.
so miserable not doing anything. It's like he wanted to be working.
Yeah. So that's what I was trying to say. That like, yeah, it kind of is kind of like the life he could have had, but he doesn't want that. So, I don't know.
And yet he sort of like used that as motivation for whatever reason. That was the like weird little bit. And like, so pretty much like his whole arc was pretty much correcting like how he fucked up at the end of the last season, essentially. Letting her get the drop on him, like not closing business when he needed to close the business. And so now he's like, all right, he's got to recover from the injuries he received. He has to now find her and then decide what he's going to do from there. And I like it felt like his arc, I mean, it felt like an arc for the season. Like, you get, of course, the background of the show gives you an idea of where he's coming from, and yet it still feels like an almost self-contained arc in the season. You get the beginning, middle, and end, and you know what's going on there. The only bit that you really need the previous seasons for is like, why does he need to kill her? Like, at the end, why is that so important?
This is
You know, they never
addiction.
really state it this time around. Yeah, but I mean, that's the thing. It's like they never really state like what does she have on them that like she needs to go. You know what I mean? And that's the only bit from this season where I feel like, yeah, that's the only part that's like not really self-contained here that he needs to take care of. And I don't know. I like his search for her where he thinks she's dead and like he falls off hard when that happens. Like he spirals. Like, he was already starting to fall off because he felt useless. And that's when he started like, let me ask you about that. That whole shooting injections of the whiskey like into his mouth. Like, what was that? Like, what was that
I
for?
don't
To
know.
try to like regulate the amount he was getting?
I guess so. I don't know. I thought it was always another fancy way of getting drunk.
Yeah,
Another
so I was like,
low life way of getting drunk, I should say. Sorry.
I guess it just felt like I don't see any use in doing that. You're just essentially put like you could have used a turkey baster and like had the same result, just putting a little bit in your mouth, I guess. It was weird. Like, maybe if he was injecting it straight into his fucking blood, that would make sense. But no, just squirting it in his mouth. And it was funny too when he had like the hooker over and made her do it. It
She
was just
freaked
like,
out.
what? Yeah, because I don't know what she thought he was gonna do with
Well, what do
that.
you don't know what he's gonna do with it? Like, pulls out a syringe, and you're just like, what? Well, hold on, calm down.
We're not gonna party that hard,
I
man.
like the whole him playing Dunbar, and just I guess he I genuinely think he was gonna go on the Dunbar side if Kevin, or if not Kevin Spacey. If Frank never called, but I think he knew that that he was gonna get back with Frank. But like he played it
And for me,
enough to the point where he could
right.
choose either side.
And for me, I felt like he was never going to do that. It was always a ploy. And yet I felt like at the end of the day, that ploy meant nothing. The whole what's his name, the dude from Mad Men, who like didn't give him credit for that little bit of information where Jackie and Dunbar met, where he said, oh yeah, I found it from my dude. I thought that was gonna play into something bigger, and it never really did. It may be laying some groundwork for the last season, but like that's pretty much it. And I thought like his whole thing with Dunbar would play out to more than it did, and it just felt like it sort of, yeah, I mean, it was sort of there, and like they acknowledge it, and like it played its part, but it just felt like they just needed Doug talking to Dunbar, pretending to, give up Frank essentially to switch sides was the only part of the story that they really needed it, and it felt almost I don't want to say convenient, but just sort of pointless ultimately.
So, if there is going to be a next season, there should be an Arrowverse next season, because if not, this season actually is the worst season.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, and everyone was saying that 52 card thing, right? Like
Yeah.
the 13 episodes and then times 4 is 52
Yeah,
deck of cards. Oh,
but
hey guys, look at that.
they want to say that they're not really sure there's going to be a next season, but I'm like, yo, there better be another season, because if the way you guys ended it on this one, it does not deserve that. Come on.
And I mean, Kevin Spacey, like what else are you doing, dude? 'Cause he's probably getting a pretty nice paycheck for
He
this
loves
anyways.
doing this role. You could tell. You tell how much money he
Oh,
does.
chewing up the scenery.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. It's this reminds me of The Blacklist, where it's really carried by the star of it. Like the show would be lesser if it wasn't Kevin Spacey playing Frank Underwood, and if and like same with Blacklist, if like fucking James, whatever his name is,
Spader.
wasn't playing Red Reddington, like it a Spader. Yeah, thank you. It just would be a lesser show, but like these actors are able to take these pretty much almost cartoonish characters at some point, inject a little humanity into them, and then really like play up all the little, especially when they're able to play as being the smarter person, like the smartest person in the room sort of thing. That's when it's like the best and like most fun.
Yes, I don't know what will be. It's definitely gonna be the downfall of Frank. I don't know who's gonna be our part for it. Dunbar.
You think so? You think he's not going to be reelected?
No. Well, that's another thing. I think the next season might be his re-election, or him winning the caucus, or winning the Democratic nomination.
You think it'd take the whole season to do that? Because he's already like won one state here, like one of the swing states here.
No, I think the beginning of, like, the first episode of next season will be, like, his acceptance speech of the Democratic nomination.
Oh, okay. So
Yeah.
you think it's going to start out with him like, yo, I got it.
Yeah.
And
But
then what do you think it ends on, though?
with his downfall.
So you think he's still like downfall, meaning he loses at the election, or like leading up to the
Like, he
election,
loses
or you think
everything,
he still
goes to
gets nom?
jail or something.
Oh, that fall.
Yeah.
That wow, okay.
I don't know,
See, I still,
death, but
I
I
feel
just
like
feel
it's going to
like
be his personal life. Oh, I'm sorry, keep
I
going.
don't think it's death, but I think it's personal and career-wise, loses everything.
For whatever reason, I feel like he's still going to win in a career, like career-wise, he's going to win. He's going to get the re-election, but at the cost of everything.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, that's usually like it's weird. Almost nowadays, that's starting to become more and more of like almost a trope sort of ending to things, where it's like the character doesn't lose everything and or they don't die, but like they have to give up so much, sacrifice so much to get that like was it really worth it in the end? And in Frank's case, I almost feel like it is. Like that feels like his it's his main driving force. And while he does, sort of create personal connections relatively easily, I feel like that's still not like his main goal. But like speaking of his connections, what do you think of the author?
Oh yeah, the whole thing was weird too. And I feel like when the author ended up with his book, or finished his book, and Frank read it, he got mad, whatever. I think the author was kind of right on the money that he was scared. I don't know, but that scene between him and Frank, when Frank started holding his hand and stuff, and
Oh, you thought it was happening again?
yeah, that's another thing about Claire. What did, like, you knew that he was into guys too, so I don't know why you're starting to think about that now.
Now, Jesse, don't go into how to get away with murder territory. There is such a thing as
That's what I'm
bisexuality.
saying. Like, you had a threesome with Meech and
Meechum. I was expecting the fortune this season. I was disappointed.
I'm just saying, like, well, you knew he was into guys, but you could kind of tell it bothered her near the end, the way he doesn't want to be around her, because now she's thinking about him and the author, and just like
Really? I felt it was just more like he wasn't attracted to her anymore.
really bothered with the author though.
See, I think the author thing was just like, well, I guess I can see that. To me, it felt more just like he was being so open and honest with this author and like letting them into what she thought was their own like personal domain, that like she felt slighted at that. It almost felt like where's our part? Again, going back to the whole like she wants power thing, but like where's our partnership? And she sees less and less evidence of that now that their lives are more public.
I don't know, man. I mean, what did you think of the author? And
I mean, again, I just liked him because it's like, hey, it's a Boardwalk Empire. What's up? Like, it's cool. And I liked seeing that he was a different dude. I was interested. Like, I liked where he was going with that. I liked how he was trying to find an angle to write the book from, and I liked the angle he started going from. I wish we would have been able to see a little more in his like the direction he wanted to take it. Just because it's like, all right, I can see what he's doing now, but it's like, I don't see how that really plays into the overall book, like especially like the whole America Works thing. Like, how does this play into that outside of just sort of, talking about Frank as a person and his like, his whole career as a whole, like with Claire. I wanted to see more how it would have looped back in, because I felt like that was one of the main things that like he used to leverage his whole run. Initially he was saying, oh, I'm not gonna do it. Of course, that was a ploy that they pretty much mentioned from the very beginning was a ploy. But like he was using that as the whole like I'm not gonna run so I can make sure that this program like works, that like it that it goes into effect and that people see how it works. And then once it worked a bit, just in Washington, because it got fucked later on. He used that sort of as his platform to run again for presidency. And so I really wanted to see how they were gonna try to like play that up or explain it or try to bring it back. As the season went on, and yet it almost felt like it was sort of dropped. And so when he came out with his book stuff and it was all about like Frank and Claire, I was like, but the thing you were hired for, like, why aren't you doing any of that? And we didn't really hear anything about it. There at the end when Claire's having her whole like crisis, I was really hoping like he would be more receptive to like talking with her about things, because I felt like I needed to see more of what his perspective was on them as a couple, like in relation to like what she was feeling, just to really get an idea of, I guess, more of where she was and then what his opinions on them were. So like we sort of get the idea of his perspective on them, but we don't really know how like his feelings are either way. Initially it seemed like he was sort of like, oh wow, like you're really a partnership here, where there's a lot of give and take here, but like does that make you stronger at the end of the day? And because all of that was cut short, it just felt unfinished to me.
I don't know. This whole season was weird. A lot of.
So
Better than last season, though, kind of. I don't
yeah,
know.
that's exactly what I was gonna ask. So like ranking the seasons,
One by a
you're I know you're
limb,
ones
by a mile,
Wait.
three and two just there.
Okay, so 3 and 2, like where are they? Like in relation to each other?
Barely
What,
over
three's
each
barely
other.
better than the
Yeah,
two?
barely.
See, I felt like 3 was much better than 2. 2 felt too cartoonish for me.
Claire felt too cartoonish to me. Say how they just went away from their characters, like weird. Why? Don't understand. What would have?
Do you think Doug felt the most like true to his character?
Yeah. Even like Frank went away, Claire went far away. It was weird. Never seen that happen before in a TV show like that. So sudden.
What
Like
do you
you.
think of the barbecue guy?
Yeah. That was weird too. Like I always thought he liked him, and then turns out no, he didn't really give a fuck about him. And it's.
Yeah, like not really.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about him, like talking about Frank, because Frank really like Frank likes the dude. Like that's why he
Yeah.
like gave him a job and stuff.
Yeah, but it turns out that Freddy didn't give a fuck Frank.
Like not really. And like what do you think about his whole thing of like where he like after Frank told
Oh,
the kid
he
like, yo,
tells a
you can be
kid it's the
president,
worst thing to tell a
he's
kid.
lying to you.
It's
Like
the worst
the
thing.
shit, dude. I don't know,
There's
man.
some
I was
truth to it, like, don't make sure your dreams are not fantasies, but
Yeah. And then when he was saying that, I just got a flashback to Pursuit of Happiness. Where's
the
it's
opposite
like don't
side.
let anybody tell you can't do
What do you
something.
say? Don't let anybody tell you can do something.
Yeah, that's pretty much what he was saying. I was like,
Jeez.
fuck, man. Yeah, and it's weird. I mean, I guess I can understand. Like, it can look at the past seasons with Freddy and, like, sort of work out, like, okay, I guess that can be how he is. But just, and it's probably just based on a perspective thing, since we saw it so much from Frank's perspective, like, going into Freddy's life. It almost felt like a about face for Freddy. And while understandable, it is disappointing nonetheless.
Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, overall, I like the season. It was still a show that I liked, that I was watching plenty of. I think there was like the whole Russian stuff I wasn't a big fan of. The Russian president, do you recognize him?
Kind of. Really?
Like there he's the remember in Sherlock, the dude who like outsmarted Sherlock
Oh, yeah.
at the end of the last season?
Yeah.
It's the same dude. And you know whose brother? Like who that guy's brother is? You do?
No.
It's Hannibal.
Crazy. It looks like
Yeah, I
him.
was like, this fucking family, man. This is bullshit.
He looks
That's
like him.
some garbage.
Well, what other shows did you watch?
Okay. I watched The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Unbreakable. They alive,
done it. It's a miracle. Unbreakable. Nice.
That was the Netflix show that premiered, is it like a week ago now, or is it just like last weekend? It was something. It was really recently. And following the Netflix tradition, they are releasing the entire show at once. It's a 13-episode comedy. I believe that the episode lengths are like similar to HBO half-hour shows, where it's like it's not the 22 or 24-minute like normal TV shows, but it's not 30 minutes either. It's like 27 on average. And I felt like it's a really strong show. You know, this is written by Tina Fey, who, talking about her other like writing credits outside of, I don't know if she how much she wrote on 30 Rock, but like outside of 30 Rock, Mean Girls in particular. And it really feels like she, you know, she has a really strong grasp of comedy. And I felt like it really shown in through this show. Like there's a lot of funny moments in it. And it's a very fun watch. And I want to say I'm on episode 9 or 10, so I'm almost done with it at this point. And it's great. Like, I don't know if it's already been renewed for season 2, but I hope it is. It felt like it made a big enough splash compared to other, you know, Netflix, quote unquote, Netflix originals, that it should get a season 2. You know, there's nothing really expensive about the show. It's not like there's a bunch of effects or anything. So I can very much see it getting another season. It's very funny. I think my only like real drawbacks to it are some things are a little too cartoony, which, you know, that's part of it. Like the whole thing is Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Like that alone, you know, feels very sitcom-y. So you can, the cartoony stuff will sort of come with the territory. But I feel like it there's enough charm to it to sort of get over those cartoony aspects of it. And the only other thing that that just stuck out like a sore thumb to me was the intro to the show, like the theme song to the show, is essentially, you remember back the Hide Your Kids, Hide Your Wife thing, mm-hmm. where they turned that into like songs, mm-hmm. versions. They like there's a time there, a few months span, where they turned a bunch of like news interviews into songs, auto-tuned the shit out of it, and this essentially plays on that. So it almost makes it feel dated, like just by the use of that, where it's like, I don't know if this was the best choice of a theme. But it's also not so derivative of those other auto-tune things where it's like, no, it still has enough. You can still feel that like fun spirit underneath it. So it's still just like, yeah, this is a good show, you know, sometimes great show. And anyone who wants to watch a comedy, I'd recommend it. I do want to note that it is very much a comedy. Yeah, you know, following in the sort of, what's that fool who makes movies with Seth Rogen all the time?
Judd Apatow,
where like they I guess fucking Adam Sandler does it nowadays too, where they do you know, they have some heart in there, like they try to introduce emotions as well. But it, you're not going to find something like New Girl season 2 sort of things where you get a lot of continuing serial storylines. While there is one sort of overarching thing, it's very much here's this episode of this, here's this episode of that. And while there's some character development, it's nothing really that extreme. But as a comedy, just taken at that face value, I definitely recommend it.
Okay.
Speaking of other shows, I actually, when we were talking, I actually did remember what would happen in that Better Call Saul episode that you actually did see. So Better Call Saul, this is like 2 weeks old. Hopefully, once I start talking about it, you'll remember. It's essentially where, Jimmy, he still sucks, right? Like, he doesn't have anything going for him. So he sort of calls back on his old, like, prank, I don't want to say pranking days, but, you know, swindling days of coming up with a ploy to get people's attention. So when his whole little thing where, like, they say, you got to take down your billboard, because he puts up a billboard. So, A, he took the money that they discovered in the tent. He took that money. You know, they played it up as being like, well, did he or didn't he? And it becomes clear, like, yep, he did. And so, of course, he gets his whole, like, new suits and things like that. I think he pays off some stuff. And it's like, oh, hey, look, like, it's things are looking up for him. And as part of that, he sort of creates a new marketing campaign, and that is to make a billboard. His billboard is pretty much just his brother's firm's, you know, it's their logo. It's their, like, the way the guy is posed and the sort of suit he's wearing. It's the same sort of thing. So when they see it, they get pissed. And, like, Jimmy's sort of girlfriend, like, I'm still not very clear on who she is. She says, like, yo, he's pissed. Like, what are you doing? And so he, you know, he takes it up with the courts, and like they're like, yeah, you're gonna have to take that down because it is pretty much infringing on their trademarks. And so Jimmy does this whole thing of like, Oh no. He just told all the news stations around, like, look at this. This local businessman is getting it bullied by bigger corporations, and no one's really biting on the story. So he ends up hiring like the local university news team to shoot the story for him. And as part of his ploy to while he's shooting the story, the guy who's painting, quote unquote, painting over the billboard, he falls off of the billboard and he's dangling there. And so Jimmy springs into action and he saves him. But because there's a camera crew there, it's all caught on tape. And, as a result, he's the big hero. Do you remember now, Jesse? Oh, crap. Did you not watch this episode either?
I can't remember.
Okay. But okay, so I mean, what essentially happens is that that gives him a bunch of messages and stuff. So it's great. Like, it works out for him. It's essentially his advertising campaign that he didn't straight out pay for in the form of an advertising campaign, but it works out. He gets a bunch of news coverage and it's great. But the thing is, when he goes to his brother's house to take care of him essentially. One of the things he does is usually take in the paper, but the paper this time around has his whole like. His story, it's in there. It's like on page four or whatever. And he doesn't, he says, "Oh, the paper was stolen." Like you don't want to see that because early on, like the flashback in the cold open was essentially him getting bailed out by his brother. And like it's just this whole thing where he doesn't want to disappoint the brother. And like that disappointing the brother is sort of what like flashes on his episodes. And so he's trying to be like, "Oh yeah, no, it's fine. Like it's whatever. Like the paper's gone today. I'm sure it'll be back tomorrow. Like I'll be sure to get it then." But the brother's suspicious, of course. And so it pretty much just ends with like the brother going in, like braving the outside in order to find the neighbor's paper. He steals it and then he reads it and sees the story and it's like, "Oh fuck." And because it's one of those things where he had promised, like, "I'm not going to be doing this sort of stuff anymore." And well, he sort of breaks his promises, and we've seen it little by little. He tries to be stalwart. Even with Nacho from an episode or two back, he's just like, no, I'm not gonna be a crooked lawyer. But he gives an inch here and there, here and there, here and there, and it's already starting to snowball essentially of like where he's going. And I dig that because I dig that they're not having Saul immediately become Saul. It's very much here's Jimmy's transformation into that, which I guess you could sort of harken back to like Walt wasn't always like the Heisenberg sort of guy, at least the way he presented himself. Maybe that was always there on some level, but that's not who he always wanted to be. And so I like there's this almost a comparison between the two characters where I feel like Jimmy is resisting the change more than Walt did. But it's interesting to see nonetheless, like the difference is there because Jimmy turning into Saul is nowhere near as extreme as Walt turning into the Heisenberg persona. I still don't remember Saul murdering anybody. Like he's advocated it. I remember in like season two or whatever of Breaking Bad, but I don't think we've ever seen him actually kill anybody, right?
No.
Yeah, and so I just like that how he's sort of juggling. His old life to like, all right, it's not really working out for him, so we get to see what he does to sort of reconcile that, like, okay, then less than upright upright citizen thing is what works, what progresses his career, and yet he still doesn't fully embrace it right away, and he doesn't want he's not being any sort of proud of it, like when he makes the Better Call Saul commercials or the Saul Goodman commercials, there he's just at that point outright like I am a scumbag lawyer and he's proud of it. And at this point he's nowhere near, that stage. And I dig it. Again, I guess you haven't seen any of that episode or you just don't
I
remember it.
just no, I probably didn't even watch him.
Well, fuck you, Jesse. But the show, then like the next episode, I think is sort of like quid pro quo, more of a like the consequences from this episode and then the episode after that. Which was this past Monday's episode. Pooh doggy. And that's all I'll say about it for now.
All right, man. I'm gonna catch up on it this weekend.
Yeah, I hope so, man. I hope so.
Let's get into music.
Nope, not yet. Sorry. I got another show that just premiered, it might have been yesterday, on a PlayStation of all places. Did you know PlayStation had shows?
No.
Well, now they do apparently. I think they announced it at one of the game shows, and it was one of those things too. It might have been last E3 where it's like we want games, guys. I don't care about your TV shows. Like, I like TV, but I came here for the games. But whatever. So it's a show called Powers, and it's based off of a comic book series. Where does that sound familiar from, Jesse?
Not sure.
Yeah, not sure either. I don't think that's ever happened before. But it's essentially the how I want to describe it. Like, I'm not gonna go too much into it because I felt like it's the production values aren't as good as they should be, especially because I've been watching stuff like Flash recently, which I don't know how much money they get. But whatever they get, they make really good use of, and it's continually like impressed me. It wasn't just a premiere, sort of like the premiere looks amazing, but then the rest sucks. But it's like, no, it's just they know how to spend their money, and it's great. And this one is feels a little cheaper, and the effects wise feels a little cheaper. On the cinematography wise and the directing stuff like that, it's just it's a little off. I feel like the acting is fine for what they're going for. And then the dialogue is weak, so it's like, well, this sounds like a mediocre shit show. And on some levels, it is. Thing is that I'm like the story itself, I'm interested in. I describe the show as a sort of a mix between Watchmen and have you ever heard of the series Fables or the game based off of it, Wolf Among Us?
No. Oh, I heard Fable.
Where you have heard of
Yeah.
Fables, like the comic book
Yeah.
series? Yeah, so it's essentially reminds me of that, where it's like you're, Fables is of course the modern day fairy tales, like fairy tales in modern day times, and like how all of that sort of works together, and the stories they can craft from that, sort of working from that base template. And so when you see that, like that old timey stuff mixed with that sort of modern day sort of grit, it creates a bit of a dissonance. And that same sort of dissonance, it feels present in the show as well. When you have like your superheroes and they start to take on a more of a Hancock sort of thing, where it's like, just because you have superpowers doesn't make you, this Adonis. You're not a Superman automatically. It wasn't that easy. And I like that that's the approach the show takes. Additionally, because there's a history in this world that they've presented to us, and there was already like a string of heroes before the show even starts, it reminds me a lot of Watchmen and those original people, and like they still play a role in this one. So it's interesting to see, like, all right, how are they shaping the events of now? And so, like, those little bits are keeping me interested. I'm really weighing it right now, whether it's like, well, maybe I should just read the comic and just fuck the show, you know what I mean? But then that required me to like read stuff, so who knows what I'm gonna do. If anyone's like interested in it, I like, yeah, go check it out, but I can't recommend it to anyone. Like, it's just not one of those things. We're talking about comic book adaptations. There's better ones out there already. We're talking about superhero shows. There's better ones out there already. But if there's some people who only watch that sort of stuff, they're like, oh, well, if it's not superheroes, I don't give a fuck. Like Mad Men, that's too boring for me. I could see them watching the show and being perfectly fine with it.
Okay. I don't know if I want to check it out. Red.
I think there's other stuff you should check out first, Jesse,
Yeah,
honestly,
check it out.
for your
I'm gonna
side.
check out Arrow.
Arrow and Flash, do that. Yeah, do that.
Do you have any music?
Nope, not yet. I think a week away is Modest Mouse, and then I'll be all up on that.
Alabama Shakes is in a month away. Can't wait for that one.
What's that?
It's a rock group, Alabama Shakes. Brittany Howard, the singer, who's probably the best singer who's not named Adele right now.
Oh, you mean Ariana Grande?
Stop. She's power. She's gonna be a superstar this year, and I can't wait. Can't wait for her. Anyways, Kendrick Lamar has an album dropping on March 23rd. That's been announced. March 23rd is the date. Not only do we get the date, we got an album title and an album cover. And the album cover looks dope. Love it. Love it all. Album title, To Kill, or not To Kill, To Pimp a
That's
Butterfly. Interesting. I don't know what all this is meaning. The title with all those people out in the White House being ignorant as fuck. I don't know. I don't know what the title's gonna mean. Just gotta wait for the music. But.
and I'm interested, but cautious, because it feels like this more than anything else was like, it's a little too politically charged.
A lot of people say that Kendrick has been making me guess on what he's been trying to make a stand, and I've been trying to guess at what kind of stance he's making, which is a good. There's been like a lot of people who got early listenings saying that it's a lot of jazz and live music sounds on this album, which I'm not here for it.
So is that similar to like the Colbert song he had?
Colbert's song was actually pretty dope. I would take that, but no.
But didn't they say like that's not going to be on the
Yeah.
album? But like the description of the Colbert song compared to like what you just mentioned here, they sound pretty similar.
I don't know. I know what they're going for. I don't know if you ever heard this cat named Thundercat. His type of music is going to be on this
Yeah,
album.
Lionel.
His type of shit is going to be on this album. And I don't really like his shit. His shit
I
is
don't know,
kind of
man.
weird.
I'm waiting for people to just be complete hypocrites and praise him for this album while simultaneously have been shitting on Lupe.
Because fuck Lupe.
Like if it's a socially like conscious sort of
All
album
day. Fuck
and it's like
Lupe.
the same sort of thing, I'm gonna be
Fuck.
like, you
Fuck
fucks, the same
Lupe
shit.
all day, except for the last album. Other than that, fuck Lupe.
Yeah. That's album of the year so far. I don't know what you're talking about. We'll see what Kendrick's got and Drake can come out with anything good,
Kanye.
cause.
You're missing Kanye, man.
Oh, and Kanye. Yeah, but then I.
It's gonna be
Yeah,
dope.
okay.
Here for it. Here for it. I am
Well,
in with Kendrick's packaging so far. I'm here for that too. Got me reinterested. First, I was kind of like, I don't know where it's coming from, or I don't know where he's gonna go with this. Now, I get the album cover. I got the album title. Still don't know where he's going with it, but I'm more excited because it looks cool. Looks and sounds cool.
I'm surprised you're excited, honestly, because after Blackheart of the Berry, where you sort of had a tepid response to that, I feel like this feels very much in the vein of Blackheart of the Berry, so I didn't think you'd be as excited as you are.
No, I'm excited.
Well, we'll see how that goes. I will admit that I actually, for a while there was like a good 2, almost 3 week span, I didn't hear any of 4 or 5 Seconds on the radio, and I was like, yeah,
No,
fuck
it's
yeah, like
never
it
gonna
bombed,
die. It
great.
didn't bomb.
And then it came back
That
like
it did not
this
do.
week.
It did not bomb.
It came back, but it's still I still stand by like Kanye's is the only worthwhile part of that song. Give me a version of that song where there's no Rihanna in there screaming off key and everything, and I would like it a lot more than I do. Kanye's the best part, like easily, hands down.
Paul McCartney killed, or I don't know what killed it, but there is a lot of Paul McCartney influence on that hook. He knows how to make melodies, man. He knows how to make catchy hooks.
I bet he didn't have good performers backing him up.
I don't know about that. Song's jamming.
It felt like pieces of a song put together.
Song's jamming.
I can't agree on that. I just can't, Jesse. Do you have any other songs to talk about, sir? Or any artists or music or albums or anything?
No, I do not.
All right.
I do
Well,
not.
in that case, this has been Mixed Noise, episode 88. Peace.
Peace. Baby.